Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It's Monday, November the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Are you ready to hit a new week? We're in a new gospel. We're in John's gospel. We've got a good number of new subscribers on board just jumping in with us right here at the beginning of John. I just want to keep welcoming you and thanking you for joining us. Well, let's begin this day, Monday, November the 10th, in the year of our Lord, with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, even saying those words, they orient us. Now, if you can take it from saying to praying, which I know we are, good gracious, that's setting the day up for Jesus to be you today. And that's what this is about, isn't it? The Bible says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, which actually is it's like I'm able to let go of my false self, my old self, and take up my true life. Well, it's beautiful, right? We're most ourselves when we're most in Jesus, and he is most in us. All right, well, I don't want to go too far down the field before we dive into our entry today. The title of it is The Prison of a Good Reputation. In our text all day long, John chapter 3, we're reading the chapter, and then I'm diving into a piece of it. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 3. Here's the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We are about to witness our first defection. We would call Nicodemus a pillar of the synagogue. He was the guy who never missed. Everyone knew exactly where he sat. And should the rare occurrence happen and he were not there, the seat remained empty. He was among the top givers. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which for us would be a mix between a federal judge and a United States senator here in the United States. He was a man of great esteem and honor. We cannot speak ill of Nicodemus. He had been a paragon of faithfulness to all he had been taught. People like Nicodemus don't tend to risk their status and standing in the community. So why did he do it? Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." I think Nicodemus had gotten in touch with the quiet desperation just under the polished surface of his life. Though he had everything, he knew deep down he was missing the most important thing. It may not be as hard for a non-churched pillar of the community to awaken to faith as it is for a leader or a respected pillar of the church to be awakened. Why is it so hard for leaders in the church to admit that they aren't quite the people everyone thinks they are? What keeps us from mustering the humility it takes to confess that, though we may be seminary-level Bible readers, we remain stuck in junior high faith? Why do we choose to be admired at the expense of being known? Though he came under cover of darkness, it seems Nicodemus was done with such charades. He knew there must be more than what he knew, and he was ready to sacrifice his pride to know it. This was the day Nicodemus broke free from the prison of his good reputation. Why is it so easy for a sinner to come to the Lord and so hard for a, quote, saint? Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who invites us to come out from under the covering of our reputation and get honest about our own souls. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with the courage to be real, that we might grow in the Lord beyond our imagining. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts, how do you see yourself in Nicodemus? Can you identify the quiet desperation in your own life? Why is it hard for those of us who've been in the church so long to find our way to the altar of humility and honesty about our real condition? Are we worried about what others might think? I've been there. I mean, I could still be there. I don't think I'm there anymore. I do my best, you know, to tell the truth and let the Lord love me, to keep it real. And I don't really have anything to prove, which means I don't have to try to wear a mask. And you know, the truth is, you don't either. And the question is, when is enough of all that enough? Today. How about today? And that's what I love about Nicodemus. You know, he probably thought a long time before he even went to see Jesus. And then he went at night. He just kind of slouched in there. And he was awakened. He was suffering from the condition that we call holy discontent. It's like, you know, I've just come to the place where I know there's got to be more than what I'm getting. And being willing to say it. So, be encouraged today. This is a day to come to that place, to own your holy discontent, because that's where the breakthrough begins to happen. All right, well, we better hand it over to our lead worshiper, our chief worship leader, my dad. I'm going to be joining him for our hymn today. Looking forward to singing it with you. Guys, we're going to have a good Monday today. Jesus is, we're following him, and yet he's after us, okay? He wants to bring us into all he came to give us. and to make us that for others. All right, here we go. All right, well, today we've been in John chapter 3. Of course, that's where you get the most famous verse in the whole Bible. You know what, Dad? John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whoever believes in him will have
perish, but
have everlasting life.
That's John 3:16. I could hear a lot of you saying that with us as we said it. And that one's a song itself. We're going to sing a song. Tell them what we're going to sing today.
Come, Christians, join to sing.
What's the hymn?
It is
number
36.
Number 36. There's three verses.
In your red hymnal.
In your red hymnal, or maybe yours is blue, but it's our great Redeemer's praise. And guess what? If you don't have one, you need to get one.
We'll sell you one.
We're never selling. We're always sewing. And we would love to send you one. You can see the link all probably in the email today. Okay. Come, Christians, join to sing. Hallelujah, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Hallelujah, amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Hallelujah, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Hallelujah, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Hallelujah, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us he'll come and sing. Love shall never end. Hallelujah, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Hallelujah, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Hallelujah, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, his goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Hallelujah, amen. Well, I hadn't sang that one in a while, have you?
No, I have not. No, that's a first in a while.
That comes from the year 1843.
Yep.
And that's, you know, when we open the hymnal, we're opening up 2,000 years.
That's right.
Of songs. Okay? We are standing on the shoulders of giants. Who stood on the shoulders of giants? Who stood on the shoulders of giants? We've inherited this songbook. And we do love the new songs. We love them. We love Chris Tomlin, who's been leading us here lately on the wake-up call. But even Chris would agree, the old songs are better. The old songs are better. You can't beat the old songs. They've stood the test of time. I have a feeling there'll be several of Chris Tomlin's songs that'll stand the test of time, but only time will tell. Meanwhile, we're going to keep singing the old ones, and thank you all for singing them with us. We just love singing with you. I never imagined I'd be singing on the internet, much less singing with my dad on the internet, but we're doing it. We're going for it.
We're going.
So, listen, it's Monday, I believe. Yes, indeed, it is Monday. And there are going to be folks out there dragging today, and they're looking for somebody to encourage them. You know who that is? That's you. you are going to sow a seed of encouragement in their life today. You're going to see them. You're going to smile. You're going to greet them. You're going to encourage them. And that's what we're carrying in our pockets today, the seeds of the love of God. So let's be ready for it. This day won't come back. In fact, today is Veterans Day. And so be on the lookout. If you're in the United States, be on the lookout for the men and women who have served in the military of this country.
That's me.
We got one right here. We got a veteran. So thanks for Dad. Thanks for your service.
I was a staff sergeant. When I got out, I was a staff sergeant.
So,
and I'll be a staff sergeant when they lay me in the ground.
That's good. So, yeah, I mean, we owe them a debt of gratitude. And they're all around us. So let's remember them today. Let's salute them. Let's thank them. Let's encourage them. The ones who've served and the ones who are serving right now. It's perilous work. It's a thankless job. But we owe them so much.
It's a dangerous job if you're called to active duty.
That's right.
And you're in the war.
That's right. We don't want war. That's why we have militaries, so we won't have wars.
Right.
That's the idea anyway. All right, folks. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we will see you on the field today.